and welcome into episode number 374 of the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Alex.
I'm Ryan.
We got Alex and Ryan, two district trivia host extraordinaires, coming to us from the comfort of their homes. Alex, give everybody a little taste as to why you love hosting trivia in non-pandemic times.
Oh, I love trivia. Every time I need to use a fun fact for anything, I always have them on deck. It's fantastic. My coworkers at my day job love it. We do the Alex Bote Fact of the Day, which is really fun. I come in with all my facts from district trivia. It's a lot of fun. Everyone's really goofy, and, you know, it's just a great environment to, you know, work in and co-host with.
I think goofy is the nicest way we've ever been described.
I mean, last year I hosted trivia dressed as Beetlejuice and stayed in character the entire time, and everyone was totally on board with it. So that was nice. No one questioned why I did that. Everyone was like, oh, yeah, this makes sense.
This was also in, like, April of last year, too, right? It wasn't in near Halloween.
Yeah, it was closer to April, you know, halfway to Halloween.
How do you stay in character as Beetlejuice when you're hosting trivia? That's my next question.
I just used a lot of catchphrases from the movie and channeled my inner Michael Keaton. My hair was totally green. I have very, very long hair. I know it's a podcast, so not everyone can see me, but I have very long hair. It was totally green, total makeup, face paint, straight jumpsuit. It was very fun.
That's awesome. So now we got to go from one awesome thing to another awesome thing, and that is you, Ryan. Give the people a little taste as to what your hosting style is. Like, if they came to see you at an event, what kind of vibe would they be getting?
Man, so I'm having a hard time with that. So I did my first online one yesterday in the We Don't Know Either Live, and my vibe was totally off. I like to think I'm a funny host in person, but it was my first time having a camera and not seeing anyone's reactions. So normally if I say something that's funny, people laugh, and that's how I know, good job, Ryan. But staring into the abyss and not being able to see reactions was really tough last night. So props to the people who have been hosting more than me on the Daily Show.
Yeah. So Ryan, here's my advice on that from an expert who's done this a lot. Usually when I tell a joke and I stare out into the audience, they look back at me as if it was an empty void. Just push right through it and don't pay any attention to the reactions.
Well, it's been fun.
That's good for next time.
Yeah, it's been fun hosting these virtual events. You know, I've hosted for a few. We're hosting private events now, so please email us, privateevents@districttrivia.com. So if you want to bring us on for a private event, you can hire us. That's my shameless plug. So I've been hosting a lot of these, and a few of them have just been me staring at my face and no video cameras of the people. And you're right, it's really, really challenging. But then there are other times where I see 50 faces all at once on the screen, and there's nothing quite like 50 faces like throwing their head back in anguish because they like can't figure out the answer. And so that's been really fun to simultaneously see everybody's reaction to questions.
I thought you were going to go, there's nothing like looking at 50 faces, not laughing at your joke. And I said, yeah, no, that I can relate to. No, that makes sense to me.
Yeah, I've said funny things, what I think is funny, in the finals in front of 700-800 people. So I'm used to it. And, you know, again, on this podcast, so we know what it's like to not be funny. So, Nick, why don't you start us off with your interesting fact today?
Okay. So real quick, I have a very, what should be hopefully like a one or two pointer to open up my interesting fact. So,
oh boy,
what is the longest river in the world? I'm looking for answers from the room here.
Oh, is it the Amazon?
It is the Amazon. That is correct. Alex is correct. The Amazon River is the longest river in the world. There's a big battle, apparently, between the Amazon and the Nile to figure it out and like how it's defined and how they do it. But as of right now, So as of right now, the Amazon is the longest at 4,300 miles long. Okay. Here is my interesting fact. How many permanent bridges cross the Amazon River over 43,000 miles? How many bridges cross the river?
That's a good question.
How long does it have to be there to be permanent?
They have to be constructed with the intention of not being taken down.
Okay.
So it's like
definition of permanent.
Yeah, it's if like somebody throws together like a pontoon bridge of logs and it gets washed away in a week, if the intention was it's not going to be here forever.
Or if your enemies are chasing you and you have a drawstring that dumps them into the river below.
Correct.
Okay, so what do I know about the Amazon River, beside obviously that it's the longest one? I know what one of my interesting facts about the podcast was about a guy that went the entire length of the Amazon River by himself, but he did not mention any bridges throughout his journey.
Yeah, I had an interesting fact about the fact that there is a portion of the Amazon River that is literally boiling.
Yep.
So that's something else you should remember.
We know that it goes mostly through the rainforest. So, you know, I'm going to guess that this is a pretty low number. What do you guys think? Why else would you be asking?
I feel like not every, you know, section of it has population that would have infrastructure or like have need for it.
I was going to say the same thing. I always thought it was in pretty rural areas for the most part. And just this might be dumb because I've never dove into Google Images too much for the Amazon River, but I've never seen a picture of a bridge over the Amazon River. And I think it's pretty wide at some parts, like several miles wide. So I don't know what, I don't have a number yet in my mind, but I think also you're on the right track. It's probably going to be pretty surprisingly low.
Yeah, especially just in terms of permanent structures. And I, you know, off the top of my head, I can't really think of, I guess there's a few cities that it would run through, but it's not something that really, you know, sticks out in my head. You know, it's not like a New Orleans type situation where there's clearly the Mississippi River going by it. But that also might be my ignorance as to geography is not my strong suit, even remotely. So I'm going to lock in 4,000 miles. I'm going to say one bridge for every 1,000 miles, and I'm going to go really low and say four.
Okay, so Lindsay's in with four. Alex, what's your guess?
So the number immediately popped into my head as soon as you asked this question, and I have no idea why, but I'm going to go with it. I'm going to say 168.
Ooh, okay. Oddly specific.
That is very oddly specific.
So for my guess, something else that came to mind while we were just chatting is I'm curious if it's similar to how some of our parks you can't build in national parks. So I'm curious if maybe the whole Amazon's protected, also protected rainforest. So I'm going to go with a bold zero. Seems like it might be a trick question.
All right. So I can tell you this. One of you is correct. One of you hit the number exactly on the head. Alex, 168 is the number of hours in a week. That's probably why that number is in your head. Yeah, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's 168 hours a week. So maybe that's why.
You can do math for a living, you know?
Yeah. The correct answer, there are no bridges that cross the Amazon River. And the reason is, it's not like one reason, like Ryan, you were correct, but it's not like the entire Amazon River basin is protected. There are multiple reasons depending upon the region that you're in. A lot of the times, you know, there's for most of its length, there's nowhere on the Amazon that's like ridiculously wide. It's not like always 6 miles wide, right? There's close places during the dry season. In the rainy season, the river can rise as much as 30 feet, which means something that was 3 miles wide at the time could be 30 miles wide during the rainy season. So how do you build a bridge when there's that much of a difference between the two? The other piece of this that I found was when it goes from the rainy season to the dry season, there are these huge like islands of rotting vegetation that form. So the river rises, it sweeps a whole bunch of the vegetation away, and then it falls. And where it falls, you have like these 10 square acre areas of just garbage. Like vegetation garbage and everything, where it's just not possible to build anything up. So there's a lot of different reasons for it.
That's very interesting. Good job, Ryan. You gotta get exactly right.
Yeah, it's rare that we have somebody that gets it's rare that we have somebody that gets it 100% right on the first time. So
does anybody have an interesting segue from Nick's river and Amazon fact?
I can make a huge leap from there. So Amazon, I know in quarantine I've been buying a lot of things off of Amazon, and I've been purchasing a lot of movies off of there. I watched a movie recently called Tremors. I don't know if you guys are familiar.
Of course I'm familiar with Tremors. Who's not familiar with Tremors?
You'd be surprised. So Tremors, I was doing a little research on it, and there's about to be a seventh sequel to Tremors, coming out in 2020. Starring John Heder of Napoleon Dynamite fame. Correct, 7. So there are 6 out, and there's about to be a 7th, which I am elated by that. So then I got to thinking, what are the movie franchises that have the most sequels?
Ooh. This is interesting. So is that your question, Jinx?
Yeah, so it's a little bit of a two-parter. So what movie franchise has the most sequels, and how many released movies are there in that franchise?
Ooh, are these theatrical releases or just in general sequels?
It's theatrical and direct-to-video.
Ooh, okay. Ooh. See, the direct-to-video adds a whole nother world.
I will say the majority of them are theatrical.
All right. So what do you think, Ryan?
So first ones that come to my mind of just something that seems to be constantly produced, I haven't really followed up since I was watching them in college, but I feel like Comedy Central every night has some weird American Pie movie that never made it to theaters. I feel like there's a lot of American Pie movies that never made it. But I haven't kept in touch lately to see how many. So I'm not sure. I'm still thinking. That's a hard one. Good question.
I will say it's not American Pie, but that's a good guess.
I always wish that the Pie movies, American Pie, like, you know, 4, they would all be, like, based, you know, like an apple pie, a blueberry pie. You know, I just feel like they really could have gotten more into their flavors over time. Getting into their flavors more. Okay, no, that's bad. That's really bad. Anyway, and also I'm more of a super bad fan myself over American Pie, but I think that that's a very much a generational thing.
Yeah, and so here's where I can show my age. The very first thing that popped into my head was Police Academy. I think there were like 7 or 8 Police Academies. And then I went from there to, it's either A Nightmare on Elm Street or Friday the 13th. I think there's at least 13 of one of those. Whatever, Freddy versus Jason, or Jason in Space, or Jason Takes Manhattan. Might be.
You're definitely
so
in the ballpark, because Halloween and Friday the 13th are both in the top 10.
Okay, ooh, those are both, okay. Ooh, okay, so I'm getting closer. There's been at least 5 iterations of Star Trek films, right? There was the original series, yeah, movies, which was 6, and then there were 3 or 4 Next Generation ones, and then there's been 3 of the current reboots. What else? Batman. There's a ton of Batman movies.
Those are tough, though, because they're not really necessarily sequels. Like, even though there's been 1,000 Batman movies, you know, you can't say that The Dark Knight was a sequel to Adam West's 1967.
Yeah, you know? I guess.
For the sake of this list from this source, that does count because Batman is on this list. Star Trek is also.
Okay, okay, so it's more like total video or total movies within the franchise.
Right. Sequels, okay. Is the MC, does MCU count? Is that a series?
Yes, that is on here, but it is not number one.
Okay. Ooh, so that, you know, that the MCU has 23 from, yeah, I think it's, yeah, from Iron Man to Endgame. And then, you know, obviously Spider-Man and a few, you know, Black Widow and more are coming into the universe. So what other franchise has more than, you know, 25 movies? And I guess if you're including reboots and not sequels, that opens up a whole new ballgame.
James Bond. There's been 6 James Bonds.
It's like you guys are going in order on the list because James Bond is number 2 on this list.
Ooh, Nick, that's a great guess because that was going to be my next guess too, as to, you know, something that spans generations and so many people. So what's going to have more than James Bond? What are you thinking, Ryan? Where's your head at?
My head is at direct to DVD Air Bud. It's every single sport, every new puppy.
Oh,
I think Air Bud has like 15.
Right. Yeah, no, Ryan, I think you're very much on the right track. Lindsay, I'm going to go with Dora the Explorer movies.
I didn't know if there would be quite higher than a James Bond, but I was so locked into my James Bond guess that I can't even fathom coming up with something else. And I know, Alex, as soon as you say it, I'm going to be angry and throw my head back.
It's got to be a kid's thing. It's got to be a kid's thing because there has to be.
Ooh, Power Rangers.
Yeah.
Power Rangers.
Ooh, good guess.
It is not a kid thing.
Oh. Ugh. Then I got nothing. I'm out.
Ooh, I got one. Right. Saw.
Saw only has like 7 or 8.
Dang. Well, I thought there'd be a bunch of like torture pornos or something with Saw. You know, like if you count the porn versions, then I think this answer gets a whole different question.
Right.
Those versions do not count.
That was.
Then right. If they did count, I'd change my answer to like My Little Pony or something.
I was gonna say, if it's direct to DVD, it has to be the one about doing Dallas, right?
Debbie Does Dallas.
So, well, there's Debbie, and then there's Joanna, and then there's—I mean, that's all the same franchise, isn't it?
I had no idea.
So yeah,
ooh,
no, that's
Dallas, I think.
Yeah. So I think we're all tapped out.
All right, so do you want to take a guess at how many films there are? Or do you want to tell you what the films are first?
Oh, I'm going to say 33.
No, I was going to say it's got to be more than 30 because James Bond's got to be like 27 or 28.
Tell us.
James Bond has 26. So the movie's Godzilla, and there have been 35 released. And there is one currently in post-production slated to be released in 2020.
There's always one currently in post-production.
36. Yeah.
I knew it. As soon as you said it, I was like, oh, that's so obvious. How did I not get to Godzilla? Ugh.
It never crossed my mind.
Most recent was 2017.
How many of those did not go to theaters? Do you know?
I do not know. The majority of them did go to theaters, though.
Huh.
Wow.
Cool. Alex, well done. Your coworkers, you know, you lived up to the hype starting off the episode with talking about your interesting facts, and then bam, they're there. And I'm sorry, Ryan, but I got to take this easy segue because Alex's fact is about movies and mine is about movies as well. And what is arguably one of the greatest directors of all time. However, he has never won the Best Picture or the Best Director Oscar. So first question, who am I talking about?
One of the greatest directors of all time who has never won the Best Picture.
Best Picture and never won Best Director either. Nominated quite a few times, but never won. It's kind of one of those snubs they would always bring up when they talked about Leonardo DiCaprio before he eventually won.
Like Disney won a ton, Spielberg's won a ton. I'm trying to think of like what directors who would fall into that category.
I mean, his films are pretty consistently on the top 100 movies of all time, classic. These are classic.
Did Hitchcock win?
Hitchcock never won, actually. He never won an official Oscar. He never won an official Academy Award. Like, Psycho was nominated, Rear Window. He was nominated for Best Director for all those things. But Alfred Hitchcock got a memorial, not a lifetime exactly, achievement award, but never an actual Oscar for the regular categories that you heard of. And it's well known that he's pretty bitter about it, as he probably should be, because his movies have kind of withstood the test of time. The reason that I bring this up is because I just watched Rear Window this past week and was floored with how well the dialogue and character interactions stood up today. Like, it was a super enjoyable movie and absolutely incredible. So I was like, I need to find an Alfred Hitchcock fact. Nick, this might be something you know, so I'm going to ask
Was I right? It is Hitchcock?
It was Hitchcock.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why I went on like a 30-minute thing about
Hitchcock. I she knows an awful lot about Hitchcock, considering she hasn't told me whether or not that was the answer she was looking for.
Yeah, I just assumed that I would just go right into the thing because you just set me up so well. But yeah,
okay,
and I think, so the question I'm going to ask is one of those traditional, very trivia questions, right? So I think I'm going to guess that somewhere in your mind, you probably have heard this somewhere. Not that I'm saying Alex and Ryan, you haven't, but Nick's in that trivia life, I guess, pretty hardcore. So my question to you guys, and Nick, if you don't know it, then I'll allow you to guess.
Sure.
But it can't be something you just know.
Yeah.
But Hitchcock has a pretty widely publicized fear of a specific type of food. And so my question to you guys is to, do you have any food fears yourselves? And what is Alfred Hitchcock afraid of? You know, this is the master of suspense. What is he afraid of?
Man, I feel like I've heard this fun fact before.
That's a very fun fact.
I don't think I have any food fears, but I feel like I might have heard his being something odd, like very household, like Jell-O or something like that.
Well, I can absolutely see that is a reasonable fear. Being afraid of Jell-O, I get. Lindsay, this is something that I do know. You are correct that in that this is a thing, and it is in my head. Food fears. I'm not afraid of any food. I just don't want to get anywhere near anybody who or has recently eaten or in the same room as anything brined. I don't like pickles. Oh. I don't like olives, and I don't want to be near anybody who does.
Oh, okay. I hate soggy bread. Like, get your soggy bread away from me. It is gross.
Oh, soggy bread is so gross. I have an aversion to barbecue sauce, weirdly enough. I cannot eat it. Don't like to smell it. Don't want to be near it.
Huh. I will say, though, I don't, like, I hate bananas. I think the texture is gross. I think the taste is gross in terms of bananas, but I wouldn't say that I'm afraid of them. I have a buddy that is super afraid of ketchup in the sense that if I, like, hold a ketchup bottle near him, he will freak out and try to leave the room. And I don't do that regularly because it's, you know, a form of torture. And I don't like to torture my friends beside just me existing near them. So I don't normally hold up the ketchup bottle. But anyway, what do you guys think Hitchcock's fear is?
I don't know. Well, now you're reminding me that my cat is actually afraid of bananas, even though you're not. My cat is definitely.
That's true. Yeah, you remind me of some good banana stories. We actually had, I had a family friend who the kind of patriarch of the family was 98 and just died like 2 years ago. But no one had ever seen him eat a banana. And like when he was 95, all the cousins asked him about it. And turns out when he was in his 20s, he was driving along one of the Great Lakes and saw two headlights disappear, pulled over and jumped in and was able to save a man from drowning, but wasn't able to save the second passenger in the car. And he had been eating a banana while he drove and didn't eat another banana for 70 years.
So, oh my gosh.
Another level of food fear. But they finally got one to eat him like a year before he died. He finally like had another banana.
Dang, at that point, I feel like I would just be like, all right, I'm done. It's been, you know, 70 years. I'm done.
Right. Yeah, push past it.
Cool. Well, give me your guesses, guys.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with Jell-O.
Jell-O? All right, Jell-O. Alex, what do you got?
I want to say ketchup.
Ketchup? Okay, just like my buddy Kyle. Hey, Kyle, what's up? Yeah, you're listening.
People are really weird about ketchup.
Both of you are incorrect. Nick, do you want to say the correct answer?
Yeah, eggs, hard-boiled eggs specifically, he was terrified of. He could not be in the same room as a hard-boiled egg.
Yeah, he really just had this fear and absolute loathing of eggs. So I'm going to read you a quick quote. This is like the quote that is known about eggs, and it was an interview. It says, "I'm frightened of eggs, worse than frightened. They revolt me. The white round thing without any holes. Have you ever seen anything more revolting than an egg yolk breaking and spilling its yellow liquid? Blood is jolly red, but egg yolk is yellow, revolting. I've never tasted it." And a few, you know, on a literal level, they say, and I'll link to the book that's specifically about Hitchcock, because he's known for like binge eating and having a really kind of unhealthy relationship with food that, you know, some people say affected his directing style in cinema and, you know, specifically also how he treated women. But he has been seen to eat eggs before. An interview called him out on it, like mid-interview, was like, "Hey, you're eating an egg right now. Like, this is not what you've been saying to people." But he's just like, "Yeah, no, I really don't like them, but every now and then I'll dabble." So yeah, eggs, one of Hitchcock's main fears. So good luck with that segue, Ryan, the master of suspense. Eggtastic.
That is a good one. So my question is around Harry Potter, as I've been one of the easy binges, is there's so much to binge on. There's the movies, there's books, and we've been listening to the books through quarantine, which kills many hours. And we started rewatching the movies. And my question is which character was the oldest, trying to phrase it right. So, which character was portrayed by the oldest actor, specifically which Hogwarts student was portrayed by the oldest actor at the time of filming?
So Ryan, have you ever been? I was gonna say, have you ever been to any of our Harry Potter events?
I have, and I was worried about that. I was thinking that as I was coming up with it. I was like, there's two people who write annual Harry Potter trivia. So I was a little nervous. Yeah. I've got a backup question if you guys
used
that question before, for all I know.
Lindsay and I will take a back seat and we'll let Alex shine on this one as far as it goes. But yeah, just real quick, not only do we do those Harry Potter events where we do upwards of 800 people in some years for 800 ridiculously rabid, insanely detail-oriented Harry Potter fans.
Everyone comes up and tells me how many times they've read the book. And they're like, I've read it 57 times. And I'm like, I've read it not that many times, but I'll do my best still to stump you.
Yeah, I was going to say, so Lindsay and I are also huge Harry Potter fans in and of ourselves, like outside of that. So, yeah, I think this is probably something I would have gotten had we not already written one of those questions. So, Alex, good luck, because three of the people in this call know the answer to this question.
Oh, now the pressure's on, because I am a Harry Potter fan. I don't know if I know this. So is it one of the main, like, how central of a student are they to, like, the plot? Like, how main character are
they? Very central, depending on which movie they are. It's not like it's, you know, Gryffindor number three. It's a real character who's has real lines frequently, but definitely is more prominent in certain movies.
Okay. Are they in all of the movies?
They are not.
Okay. I'm going to go with Cedric Diggory.
Ooh, a little Robert Pattinson accent, which, by the way, if you have not read his article, please do so. It's got a lot of Ben Wyatt kind of vibes in it with his spaghetti dinner. Yeah. He wants to make like a spaghetti sandwich situation, and it's hilarious. But I have a guess, and I want to make sure. And Nick, I think that we're both on the same page.
You have a guess? Like, you don't 100% know this?
Okay. Well, I want to make sure, because it depends on how he qualifies the question, right? Like, I'm pretty sure that it's the actress that plays Moaning Myrtle, right? Because I think she's
Shirley
like 37
Henderson.
Or 38.
Henderson's 38, the time she played Moaning Myrtle in the Chamber of Secrets, yeah.
Yeah, so that's my guess.
She's her a ghost.
So
I would think
she was
a ghost rather than like an active Hogwarts student. Like, I was only thinking active.
Forever a student, though. But no. You are right. It was Shirley Henderson. She was 35 at the time when she Chamber of Secrets first started. I'm not positive Cedric Robert Patterson's age, but he was on the older end, but not by that much. And that was my other two worries. My first one was two Harry Potter masters, and then second, debatable whether she's. But I convinced myself earlier she was a student. So
yeah, I think
you're,
she
you're right. It was voting Myrtle.
I'm only saying it counts because we got it right, but that'll be the secret phrase, forever a student. That is the secret phrase, forever a student. Not that it, again, it matters for anything, but if you want to give some bonus points to yourself for having forever a student, absolutely go. But we got to wrap up this episode. Alex, Ryan, thank you guys so much for joining us. You guys are awesome. Stay safe, happy, healthy. That's like the sign off that people are doing now. Nick, I guess you can do all those same things too.
If I feel like it.
If you feel like it. But yeah, we're booking private events. And of course, you can check out everybody on the We Don't Know Either Live Facebook group. Thanks for listening. And we don't know either.
Bye.